You spoke a little earlier about making political decisions and judgments in terms of how it fits, I think, with one's heart.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that it's...
Not heart, emotional heart. Uh-huh. You know, heart like Chinese sin or the atma, meaning the deepest place of truth.
The core.
The deepest intuitive place in one's being, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Well, that would seem, that notion would seem to contradict what we see very much in the world about us now, which are religious political movements, you know, the moral majority or the Islamic fundamentalism, where in the name of a particular religious dogma, certain political planks are established, and everyone within that organization or within that tradition is expected to support a particular political attitude.
Mm. When there is a lot of fear, there's a lot of uncertainty. When there's a lot of uncertainty, there is usually a lot of fear attendant to it. And how people react to fear is interesting. Some people just consume more. They say, I'll get it while I can because it's all going to blow up anyway. They become more and more materialistic. Mm-hmm. Some people want it, they want to be on the right side when the doors close, so they become fundamentalists in one sense or another. They grab on to right as opposed to evil. They want to be one of the 144,000 that gets in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And the other group uses it, the uncertainty, as a way to deal with their inner relationship to uncertainty, mm-hmm. and they go inward. And you can see the society dealing with the fear that way. Yeah. And so that real thrust to the kind of righteousness is staying at the plane of good and evil. It's staying at the plane of polarities. Mm-hmm. And it's not seeing, as G. Manly Hall said, that he who knows not that the prince of darkness is but the other face of the king of light knows not me. And that's the one. It's interesting that all these religions in our Western sense, I mean Christianity and Judaism and Islam, are really monotheistic. They believe in the one, like Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And yet, they always live within the two. It's like, it's all one, it's one except for me, or except for us. And so we end up mea culpa-ing ourselves. Because it's chutzpah in exoteric Western religions to think that you are one with the one. We say it's all one, but we don't really act as if it were all one, which is much more like holography.
No, we typically act as if we're very distinctly separate.
Distinctly. And we got the bad end. We got the, you know, the bad end of the stick. Too.
Yeah, original sin.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Because we fell out of something. And if you see it as the one exploring itself through us, I mean through these multiplicity of forms that are all part of the one, and that it goes into the dream or the illusion or the... It gets entrapped in the separateness in order to awaken out of the separateness in order to see itself. And it's just a beautiful dance of this delicate form of the one at play. Mm-hmm. The whole thing lightens up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I sense you saying is that you're making a clear distinction between spirituality and religion here.
Between institutions See, religions do provide exquisite practices to get deeper into the spirit. The problem is that every practice is entrapping. I don't care whether it's meditation or Catholicism or the Torah or drugs or whatever, yoga or whatever it is, they're all traps. And the game of method is that you've got to use the trap and risk being entrapped with the expectation that it will self-destruct if it really works.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, if it really self-destructs, the whole priest class is out of business in institutional religion.
Yeah.
So that the game has a funny kind of top, a false top on it, because it's any institution that starts to have salaries and institutional structures and all that immediately can't self-destruct. It's not designed that way.
Well, you suggest in your most recent book, How Can I Help, that through service, one finds a path to realization, to God or to enlightenment. And I sense that in all religions there is this path of service, and that seems to come as close as religion really gets to political action.
Yeah, but the difference is where you do the service from. There are an awful lot of religious organizations that do service, but they do service like we'll help the poor. Mm-hmm. That's not exactly karma yoga or the use of serving somebody to transcend the dualism between the server and the served. I mean, I'm talking about it as a very precise method of enlightenment, of serving where there is no server. Mm-hmm. Because the Bhagavad Gita says, be not identified with being the actor and be not attached to the fruits of the action. But still, you do it. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you help somebody where you're not attached to how it comes out and you're not busy being the helper? That's the art form. Then you're just doing what you're doing because you're doing what you're doing. You are the help. You're not the helper. You're the help. And who's getting helped remains open to question. If you're not getting helped by being a helper, forget it. You must be standing in the wrong place.